Good afternoon. I'm Doug Boynton. Education matters to everyone. Schools have become ground zero in culture wars with challenges to teaching about race, racism, and ethnic diversity. Many schools face opposition to policies and practices related to LGBTQ student rights. Textbooks and library books are being challenged due to content deemed inappropriate or offensive to some parents. And lately, it seems like there's a new controversy erupting every day about public school classrooms. What is it like to teach today? Acting Virginia Beach City School Superintendent Dr. Donald Robertson joins us to talk about these issues and how teachers are faring. He will also take your questions on this, the premier edition of Education Matters. Right after this national, regional, and local news break from NPR and WHRO. Good afternoon. I'm Doug Boynton, and welcome to Education Matters. At their June 12th meeting, the City of Virginia Beach School Board voted to name Dr. Donald Robertson as acting superintendent. He replaced Aaron Spence, who presided over the division since 2014. Dr. Robertson is no stranger to the Virginia Beach City Schools. He's been with the division since 1988 as a teacher, principal, and front office administrator. Virginia Beach is the largest division in Southeast Virginia, fourth largest in the state, with over 63,000 students in grades K through 12, 86 schools, 14,000 employees. Dr. Donald Robertson, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
If we could go back in time when you were a young man and you were thinking about what you wanted to do for a career, why did you choose teaching?
That's a great question. I actually went to college to study engineering. And in that time, I was playing football and we had study hall on a regular basis. Excuse me. And I was a really strong math student. And the coach recognized that and put me with a group of kids on the team that were struggling in math. I became the math tutor. And what I found is I got a tremendous amount of enjoyment out of sharing my knowledge of math with other guys on the team. Fast forward, I went to Old Dominion. I was in my third year in the engineering program when you get right into the nitty-gritty of your field. And I just found that it wasn't exciting me every day. I appreciated the rigor of the program, but it wasn't the calling I thought it was going to be. And so I went back to what really made me happy, and that was when I was helping other students share my math knowledge. So I shifted over to get my degree in mathematics and education at ODU, and I got a job in Virginia Beach teaching at Princess Anne Junior High at the time and coaching wrestling and football. And it was the greatest decision I ever made.
So if I'm a young person and I'm about to embark on my college career, why would I want to be a teacher given everything that's going on? Times must have been simpler back then.
Yeah, well, you know, it's simpler for all of us because there wasn't any social media.
Right.
And so it is still a remarkable profession. Unfortunately, national rhetoric around education has not helped us because it focuses on the few really challenging things that occur on a regular basis. Anytime you work with children, if you've been a parent, there are a lot of highs as you work with your child on the things that they do. They make you proud. They show you something new. They make you smile. And then there are times when your own children may make a decision that you're like, that was not a good decision, and you have to address that. It's the same thing when you go in a school setting. These kids that we have are really no different than when we were in school. The difference is they have pressures that we never had, and that is with social media. And social media has a lot of good things that go for it and allow us to communicate in a number of avenues, but it also allows us to say some things that are not friendly and cause people anxieties.
I have a friend who's a teacher, and she indicated her number one problem was keeping the kids focused with the iPad and their phones and everything else that's going on.
Yeah, well, I would say if you asked adults, if you go in any restaurant and look around and see how many adults have their phone out at the table while they're enjoying dinner with their significant other, their spouse, their friends, their family, phones are addicting. The social media is addicting. In fact, when I was, my wife and I had our boys growing up, to keep them occupied at a restaurant, they colored. You don't see that anymore. You see a student, the child with a iPad, and they're playing a game. The world has shifted there through the use of technology, and we just have to recognize that.
Virginia Beach have a full complement of teachers now? Are you short anywhere?
We started the school year down 35 teachers out of roughly 5,200 teachers. That was last year, it was 36. Previous year, it was over 100. So we're in a good position. We're not in a great position. We're not fully staffed, but I mean, I figured 35 out of 5,200 were pretty good.
What percentage of turnover do you have year to year? I guess teachers still work on a contract?
Yes. Okay. Yes. So every year we rotate out between 400 and 500 teachers and rotate in 400 to 500 teachers. We do an exit survey with all of our teachers, and it tells us the reason that they're leaving. Retirement has been the leading cause over the last couple of years. The second cause, leading cause, is just leaving the profession. The third leading cause is, because we're a military area, their spouse has been changed. And then the fourth is they're going to seek teaching in another division.
When you talk about retirement and people leaving the profession, is burnout a factor there?
Yeah. I think in any profession, there comes a point where, you know, when you have to get up in the morning, you're really questioning whether or not you still have the stamina for the job. And the fact of the matter is, and this is not to say anything negative about any other profession, but I would stand a teacher or an educator up against anyone in the workforce and tell you that when the day ends, your teacher and your administrators are still working. They are not defined by a 40-hour week. That doesn't exist in education.
What are you taking any steps? Thing that comes to mind is Norfolk is offering their police officers massages to alleviate stress, and you may not be doing that, but are you doing anything to help teachers deal with the stress?
Yeah, so we have a really strong wellness program in Virginia Beach, where we encourage our staff to eat well, to exercise, do all those things that we know are good for your own health. But we also have a program called Care Solace that we've just initiated this year. And through Care Solace, which is a kind of like a turnaround platform, a staff member or their child or their parent who's living with them, who needs some mental health services for whatever the reason is, anxiety, it could be drug abuse, it could be anything related to mental health, they can connect through Care Solace and get handoffs to the right practitioners to be able to serve them. We started it last May, and we get data on the number of users. We had a pretty good amount in May, a great deal in June. It tapered off over the summer. September, we had data similar to last May. I've not seen the October data yet because we're only at the beginning of October, but our staff are beginning to learn of this resource that we have for them, and we believe it's going to pay big dividends because, again, it could be the families that's taken in their parents now, which has created a whole new dynamic in the house, and it's creating some stressors, maybe for the parent. The parent can call and get assistance, whether they work for Virginia Beach or schools or not. If someone is connected to Virginia Beach City Public Schools, they can access and use the Care Solace platform.
Teachers for Tomorrow? Is that program working for you?
Yes. Virginia Teachers for Tomorrow is a program that was started under Jim Merrill, superintendent, in, I think, 2007. And it was really an idea of grow your own. Try to get students engaged in 11th and 12th grade to learn how to teach. It's a dual enrollment program, and then offer them at the time it was, we would offer two students from each school a guaranteed contract. If they go to college and get a degree in teaching, they have a guaranteed contract with us, if they chose. We've increased that now. We're giving out 4 or 5 contracts per school to expand the pool. And we have right now in Virginia Beach, former Virginia Teachers for Tomorrow, students teaching in our schools.
want to talk to you about Governor Youngkin and his concerns about what was lost during the pandemic mm-hmm. and his proposed solutions for some of that. And also want to talk to you about tomorrow night's meeting and the model policies that'll be coming up for a vote. We will take your calls at 757-440-2665 or 800-940-2240. You can also go to the WHRO Public Media Facebook page and enter your questions there. We will take a short break and we will be right back in a moment. You're listening to Education Matters from WHRV. Welcome back to Education Matters. I'm Doug Boynton. We are with Dr. Donald Robertson, acting superintendent for the Virginia Beach City Public Schools. He was appointed in June to lead the division while the division seeks a replacement for Dr. Aaron Spence, who left for Loudoun County, who we just heard about what's going on there. If you have questions for Dr. Robertson regarding the teaching profession or anything else that's going on in the Virginia Beach schools, the number to call, 440-2665 or 800-940-2240 or on the WHRO Public Media Facebook page. So Governor Youngkin is very concerned about parents getting involved in education. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed an uptick in parents involved?
So we have noticed an uptick in parents involved across education, let me answer it this way. On the public level, their involvement has come through their disappointment with decisions that have been made at the state and local level, particularly around COVID and how COVID was handled. And now there's some other reasons. Unfortunately, in our case in Virginia Beach, we haven't seen increased parental involvement in the education of their children year over year. We have parents involved. We absolutely have parents involved. But to say that we have more parents involved now based upon Governor Youngkin's comments about how important parents are, and he is exactly right, we are not seeing that in terms of their engagement in their child's education.
The teachers I know wish that more parents would get more involved in the education part of yeah. what goes on in the classroom, and especially in the case of perhaps discipline and making sure their child is going to school and is doing the homework and doing all of those kind of blocking and tackling things. It seems sometimes like the parents who are involved are more concerned about culture war issues.
Well, I don't know if I can say that generally is true. What we see in our school board meetings is when parents are coming to speak, they're really concerned about things related, you could say, to cultural challenges versus academic challenges. We do have parents concerned about academic challenges, for sure. But in the school setting level, We've always had parental involvement. I just can't say we've had an uptick of parental involvement in the day-to-day operations of their children. But I will tell you, in this All in Virginia plan that the Department of Education has put forward, it really puts an onus on parents to get engaged with their children if they did not pass the standards of learning test or are at risk of not passing a standard of learning test, where the parents are really expected to engage with their school on how we can provide additional services through tutoring to their children.
They've got to actively apply for the grant money.
So that's another opportunity that parents have that was afforded to them by the Governor Youngkin's administration and the Department of Education, where parents could receive grants that they could use to pay for tutoring for their children. And we have had families across the Commonwealth who've applied for those grants and received those grants. It's a finite amount of dollars, so it's not something where you could say every kid has an opportunity, but there's thresholds in terms of your level of salary, in terms of whether or not you qualify. And we do encourage parents who are in the free reduced lunch status to take a look at that opportunity, because there are funds available.
Are there going to be enough? I mean, the governor announced the big tutor plan. Are there going to be enough tutors to handle the demand?
Well, I think there's an understanding, even at the state level, that it's unlikely there's going to be enough tutors to serve all the students in the Commonwealth. I mean, right now we're struggling. Well, we're not struggling. We don't have enough teachers available to fill all the vacancies throughout the Commonwealth of Virginia. So to think that we're all of a sudden going to have enough tutors, and when I say tutor, I'm talking about a qualified individual. There's the old adage that practice makes perfect. That's not true. Perfect practice makes perfect. Poor practice makes poor. So if you have someone who's going to sit down with a student and teach them math or tutor them in math, but they don't have a math aptitude, then whatever they're doing with that student could actually be a detriment to that student's learning.
I would think that the money available, and I'm remembering, this would have been 10, 12 years ago. Nope, longer than that. Would have been about 15 years ago. We got a tutor for our son who was struggling with math, and it was $40 an hour. I can't imagine it's $40 an hour now. It's got to be more than that. And is the money going to run out, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. So if you go the private tutor route for really any subject, but math in particular, you're $50 to $75 an hour.
Wow.
Depending on the subject matter. In terms of the Commonwealth, we are pleased that in the recent budget, skinny budget that was passed, that $418 million was provided to schools. And then, of course, what you get as a school division is based upon a number of factors, including your ability to pay as a locality. So in Virginia Beach, we're receiving approximately $20 million. 70% of that $20 million is going to be used to support the tutoring plan. So about $14 million. And so what we're doing right now, much like probably all of the other divisions in the Commonwealth, we are meeting with our teams to determine the best method to provide tutors based upon need. So every division is going to be different. We were fortunate in Virginia Beach that we had a very high pass rate last year on the standards of learning tests. So we have a small percentage of students who are required to get additional tutoring. And beyond that, with the governor's, or not the governor, Department of Education's determination of what makes you at risk, which is you passed the SOL test, but you didn't score high enough to take you out of that risk category. We have to count for that percentage of kids. So in Virginia Beach, that's about a third of our students, not a third that didn't pass, but between those that didn't pass and those who just barely passed, that's about a third. In some divisions, that number could be twice that, which is just going to make their road to identify staff that much more difficult.
People in the school division are in touch with the Department of Education all the time, right?
Yes.
You happy with what you're getting from them?
So Dr. Coons, the new state superintendent, has been phenomenal in terms of communication with the Region 2 superintendents. She's responsive. She recognizes the challenges that we have. She has offered her own advice. Her team has created some resources that we can access across the Commonwealth. She has provided some really reasonable flexibilities that divisions can explore when they are faced with not being able to secure a body for a tutor. The plan that they've developed allows for the use of a technology and a face-to-face. It's preferred to get a face-to-face tutor, but we do have two platforms that have been provided by the state that we can use that are, in essence, work as tutors. And so yeah, I'm really pleased with what Dr. Coons has done. She's worked really closely with our Region 2 superintendents under the leadership of Olwen Heron in Williamsburg, James City County. And so we're all working on this thing together.
How did the students fare during the pandemic and I guess post-pandemic? Was there a deficit there?
Absolutely. We recognized there's no substitute for a student in front of a trained educator. And in Virginia Beach, we were fortunate because some decisions that had been made pre-COVID really helped us survive COVID much better than some of our neighboring colleagues. For example, Virginia Beach went to a one-to-one concept in 2017, meaning every student in Virginia Beach had access to a Chromebook. And they were receiving learning through typical textbooks, but also through the Chromebook. So the kids were used to learning through a Chromebook. In 2018, as a reason to determine, is there another way to make up school days rather than, you know, extend time or go to school on holidays? Let's explore this idea of remote working days or remote learning days, where we put 2 days in our calendar in 2018 where kids stayed home, but they were delivered their lessons remotely through their teachers. The teachers reported to school and they delivered the lessons to the kids at home, so we could work out the kinks on how that might work if we ran into snow days or hurricane days. We did that again in 2019. In fact, our second remote day in 2019 was going to be like March 19th. So when we went out on March 13th, on or about March 13th, we were like, okay, you know, like everybody else, oh, it'll be a week or two. That's okay. We got a remote learning day. We've already had one. We won't have to make up that many days. And then it just turned into year. But because of the work we had done before, our teachers were able to very quickly design their lessons to deliver to their kids remotely. So, you know, my wife was a teacher. She was sitting at the dining room table during the day, during COVID, with her students, who's a high school teacher, in their class time. The kids were involved, and she's giving them the lesson and taking their questions and giving them feedback and grading their work. Whereas many school divisions across Commonwealth who didn't have that were gathering paper copies of units and lessons and assignments, sticking them on a school bus, driving the school bus to an area in a neighborhood, telling the kids, hey, come to the school bus, get your work, take it home and do it. We'll be back in a week to collect it. That is a very difficult position to be in. We were not in that position in Virginia Beach. So we were able to come out of the pandemic with less learning loss than some of our colleagues across the Commonwealth, which showed in our scores. Over the last 3 years, we've far exceeded the state on every single measure.
How about social skills? Was there a deficit there?
Yeah, definitely a deficit in social skills. I addressed this with our Parent Teacher Association the other night. We had our citywide Parent Teacher Association meeting, and I said, you know, COVID taught us a lot of things that we benefit from now. The ability to have Zoom meetings that are meaningful, where you can save time not having to bring people from all over to me. You can accomplish the same thing via Zoom. That's a win. A loss is we've lost the ability to sit across the table from someone and have a conversation. It is devastating. And in terms of the kids, we had kids coming into school in K-1 and 2 that had no pre-K program, had no early childhood program, had no kindergarten program. And so, you know, your first graders were coming in developing social skills like previously would have been in kindergarten or pre-K. Second graders like kindergarten or pre-K. A group of high school students who had lost their eighth and ninth grade year coming into 10th grade. It was very challenging for those kids. Not to mention the fact that many of our students had parents directly impacted by COVID in terms of either they lost their life or they lost their job. They lost their home. We have seen a significant uptick in Virginia Beach in the number of kids on free reduced lunch, number of kids of homeless, and number of kids in shared housing.
What we talk about tutors for academia. What about tutors for social skills?
Yeah. So we a couple things. One, we have expanded the number of support staff that we have in Virginia Beach, and our neighbors around this area are doing the same. Hired more social workers, more support specialists, more we in Virginia Beach we call them behavior intervention specialists. The state has increased the ratio of support staff positions so we could hire more counselors, for example. But we have a long way to go. We're still, I think if you would ask my colleagues across the region, we're still low. We still need help.
We will take another break. The phone numbers to call if you have questions about education or specifically questions about the Virginia Beach City Public Schools, 757-440-2665, 757-440-2665, or 800-940-2240. You can also go to the WHRO Public Media Facebook page and ask your questions there. We'll be right back. You're listening to Education Matters on WHRV. Welcome back. We are talking today with Acting Virginia Beach City Public Schools. That's a mouthful, by the way. Superintendent Dr. Donald Robertson. We're taking your calls at 757-440-2665 or 800-940-2240. You can also go to the WHRO Public Media Facebook page. We do have a call. Let's go to Chris in Chesapeake.
Hi. I had a question about if a tutor wanted to apply to the program, what is it exactly called?
So right now we are standing up on our website for VB Schools under Human Resources, position called Tutoring. We're hiring generally, and then what we'll do is match the skill sets of the individuals who wish to tutor with the needs. The program will be starting on November
the
8th.
What's the program called?
So it's interesting you asked that question. We had a discussion with senior staff today. We didn't know if we were going to want to call it All in Virginia or come up with a more catchy name. So we have not come up with the name of our tutoring program yet.
Oh, so if someone was looking to apply, they should look for what?
Yeah, I would call the main number at Virginia Beach City Public Schools for Human Resources and tell them that you're interested in the tutoring program, and then they can direct you to filling out the application where that group will be held.
And what's the phone number?
757-263-1000.
All righty. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Let's go to Jonathan in Virginia Beach on 2. Jonathan, you're on the air.
Hello, sir. How are you doing today?
Good.
Well, my question is a statement then a question. My son unfortunately failed during the COVID time because he just wasn't interactive with the Chromebook at home. We tried to get him to, you know, be at the table or do the schoolwork and things like that. Both parents work, so it's really hard to help them stay interactive while school time was there because we're at work. And unfortunately, he failed. He had to repeat the class. He almost failed again, but he passed by the skin of his teeth. Is there anything we can do to help the children be more interactive with school when we're at home?
Absolutely, and thank you for your question. You just described a scenario that was very familiar to us with both parents working during COVID, oftentimes at different times, so the parents weren't there. So in to your question, what can you do to help them at home? There are a couple things that I would suggest. One, if you can find that kids need to be scheduled. In terms of what's the best time for them and for you, for them to have 30 minutes at night where they can have dedicated homework time. 30 minutes should be sufficient. If it's not, if it's longer, then you might want to have a conversation with the teachers or the counselor. But in that 30-minute time, it needs to be a time that works for you as the parent and works for the child, so they can come. Get into a routine. If it's an older child, they're going to need less supervision. If it's a younger child, they're going to need direct supervision. That's what I would offer.
Okay. Thanks for the call. A question about the chronic absenteeism. And I guess that goes along with, were there kids who were coming to school before the pandemic who never showed up after the pandemic?
Yes, we did have students as well as across divisions in the entire country who did not come back right away after the pandemic. And we've had to spend a lot of time tracking those students down, because normally the procedure is from year to year, kids will move. And the way that we track those kids is when they're moving, we try to ascertain where they're going so we can make a note. But when they get there, their division has to contact us to get records, and that's where we can verify where they are. And we had some kids that we had to go back and track down and see where they were. We found a lot of students had either decided to do a homeschool model or were doing remote only, or some at 17 who just got into the workforce and hadn't gone back. So then we're helping those students recognize you can get your GED, you can get your high school diploma through night school, and trying to push them in that direction.
Let's go to Abby in Virginia Beach. Hi, Abby, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, and thank you, Dr. Robertson, for being here today. I have a question. I'm a youth minister in the Great Neck area for a Catholic parish, and I see the struggles with social skills. And it can have a really just an adverse effect on the entire group. And so is there something that faith communities can do either to collaborate with schools to help because you have such a shortage in staff? I know how hard teachers work and guidance counselors, and they just have so much. Is there something that we could do as faith communities to assist? Because we have the opportunity to gather in person. It's just what, you know, churches and congregations do.
So I really appreciate that question. And I'm a member of a church that does a great deal for our schools through their youth programs. So that any family that goes to the church where I attend, again, benefits from having that type of care and through the faith community. We also have in Virginia Beach what we call the Interfaith Council. And that is a group of faith leaders from a number of different denominations that come together to determine how they can do exactly what you're saying. So I would ask that if you contacted the Office of Community Engagement, it's actually called the Family and Community Engagement Office, that particular branch, and they can direct you to the Interfaith Council. And you can find out what the other groups are doing and how your church organization might be able to help.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Sure.
What, when I was a child, well, let me back up. Chronic absenteeism, is that more of a problem in some schools than in others?
It is. It is. It goes to, in COVID, we introduced students to learning at home. And some students really thrive in that environment. Most prefer the brick and mortar, traditional, come be around their friends. But we do have kids who did really well there. In fact, we still have students that are learning in a remote learning, fully remote environment. But with all the things going on in families' lives right now, it is more important than ever. And we talk to our principals and teachers about this. The kids want to know, why do I have to be here? Why is it that I need to learn this skill so that I can succeed later? And so our teachers have been, you know, teaching is part art, part science. The science being the pedagogy. The art is being able to make connections with those children to let them know, look, I'm giving you a holistic approach here. You're going to get a sprinkling of information throughout your life that you're going to have to embed into your learning model in your brain to determine, what do I really want to do? And there'll be some information you never use, and there'll be information that you use all the time. So with one of the things teachers have to do right now, more so than ever, is create those relationships with the kids so the kids want to be in their classroom.
When I was a young man, my parents put, especially as I got into high school and had a car and was able to maybe go someplace else during study hall, my parents kind of put the fear of the truant officer into me, that somebody was going to come banging on their door. You don't hear about truant officers much anymore.
Yeah, we call them attendance officers
okay.
now. And we do have them. We have three of them in Virginia Beach.
Do they go bang on doors?
They do. Okay. They absolutely do.
So they would stop me if I brought donuts to the ladies in the attendance office?
Well, hopefully they think you're going to class after that, but yes.
Okay. We talked about that being a problem in some schools more than others. Are you concentrated on those schools?
Yes. So we are well aware of all of our data, and including the absenteeism data. And so with 86 schools in Virginia Beach, we have schools in various levels of challenge with chronic absenteeism. The state characterizes chronic absenteeism into level one, level two, level three. Level one is you're don't really have any issue. Level two is you have a little bit of issue. Level three is you have an issue. So we've shifted our resources, our additional resources, to support those level three schools. The high school, that could be the use of a graduation coach. At the middle school, it could be additional counselor. The elementary school, it could be additional support person. In addition, we're looking at hiring a dedicated person at our division right now to oversee our entire chronic absenteeism plan, because it's gotten to the point where it no longer can be added to someone's plate in central office. We need another person who, that's the only thing they do, is look at chronic absenteeism across our 86 schools and how can we make sure that we're capturing those kids and getting those kids to understand how important it is for them to come to school every day. And some of that comes to supporting families, because some of these kids are staying home because they need to care for their younger siblings who are not in school yet.
To pivot next to culture wars and everything from books to the governor's model policy that the board will be discussing tomorrow night, how much does that take away from the business of education?
So, you know, we've spent a lot of time in Virginia Beach talking about the Governor Youngkin's model policies and getting those implemented. In fact, tomorrow night will be our seventh meeting of talking about the model policies. Our board is very engaged in this topic, and they have deliberated on this for the last probably 2 months. We've had really good discussions. We're very close to getting something that I believe the board can pass tomorrow night so that we can move on and close the chapter on this book.
Some think that the governor's model policy just needs to be adopted as is. Others say it needs to be changed to suit Virginia Beach sensibilities. What are the differences in what the board is going to be discussing tomorrow night and the governor's model policy?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's an important question, because even Governor Youngkin has noted in his comments that he noted at a parents' right rally, he said, school divisions shall adopt the model policies as is, or they can adopt policies and regulations that are consistent with the model policies, because he recognizes there we have 139 school divisions in the Commonwealth. Many of those school divisions are vastly different. Take Virginia Beach compared to go as far west as we can. It's not the same communities. Far west, they're rural, they're mountain, they're coal mining. Virginia Beach is Virginia Beach. It's the beach. It's the military. We're a melting pot. And so the governor has acknowledged this through to be consistent with. So what we have been working very hard to do is develop or use our own existing regulations and policies, revise those in a manner that's consistent with the core values of Virginia Beach City Public Schools and what our community wants. And so our community is a bit split on this. And, you know, so we're trying to navigate what is the right language for that entire area that we can all get behind, recognizing that it may not be exactly what you wanted, but it's very close. And given the greater idea of us moving forward, we can acquiesce around a decision.
I want to expand on that a little bit. And right now, I want to tell you, if you're listening, that we're welcoming your phone calls, your questions at 757-440-2665 or 800-940-2240, also at the WHRO Public Media Facebook page. Will a student who is struggling with their sexuality be able to confide in somebody in the school district?
So the new model policies make it clear that parents need to be involved. And if you have a child that's struggling with drug addiction, struggling with friendship, struggling with their own gender identity, their parents need to be involved. And if they're unwilling to talk to their parent, but they want to go talk to a staff member in a school, then the staff member in the school needs to recognize that their parent needs to be involved. Their parent has to know.
Is that going to be disclosed to the student? We're going to be
yes.
bound to notify
yes.
your parents if we go further in this conversation.
Yes. If our version of the model policies gets adopted tomorrow night, then we would have to let the student know. As soon as you broach that topic with me, then I'm going to ask you, is your parent aware of your struggles? And if they are not, then together we can call your parent. Now, we're also going to create mechanisms where we take that off teachers' plates. We're going to have the counselor and administrator make that phone call to the parent with the child, because they're going to get additional training on how to navigate that.
What will the vote be, another close one, do you think?
I can't tell. Honestly, I don't know.
We've talked before about the relationship between the superintendent and the board. You're kind of like the CEO of a company, and you serve at their pleasure, and they, I guess, make the policy and you execute the policy.
Yes, the school board runs of any division is they're the governors of the division. They set policies. That then the superintendent or administration develops regulations and mechanisms to support those policies. As a superintendent, you serve the will of the board. In this case, we have 11 members on our board. The will of the board occurs when you get to 6. And so that's what I do.
Let's take a call from Norfolk. Brooke is ready when she wants to talk about the model guidelines. Hello, Brooke. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, this is Brooke. No, I called because I was listening to the gentleman who I guess is from the state talking, and he was talking about the differences between the different school districts across Virginia.
Right.
He mentioned we
are here with the Virginia Beach School Superintendent, Dr. Donald Robertson.
Okay. Yeah, he was talking about how, you know, Virginia Beach is so much different than maybe the furthest west school district in Virginia. And I was just thinking, yeah, the difference is that in the rural areas, they're probably going to be a lot more comfortable terrorizing their LGBTQ students. Whereas in the city, we're not going to be as comfortable with that and how it shouldn't be happening, whether the people in that community are happy about it or not.
Okay. You still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess I don't know what to say.
Well, that's the reality of it.
Yeah, I understand that you know, the social mores are different in different parts of the state, and I think that's the point we were trying to make. Thanks for the call, Brooke. On to Wesley calling from Northern Virginia. Hi, Wesley, you're on the air.
Hi, Dr. Robertson. Hi, Doug. I had a question about a point that Dr. Robertson mentioned a moment ago. Doug, you asked a salient question about whether or not student concerns that are confided in a counselor or a staff member would then be communicated to the parents. And Dr. Robertson indicated that the parents effectively must always be involved. I had a friend years ago who came out as trans and at the age of 16 was kicked out home and never allowed to return. How would you handle situations where students indicate that the things that they're sharing might not be well received at home at all, or at that environment might be safe today, but after they come out might become unsafe?
Yes, that's a good question as well, and that's one of the training pieces we're going to cover. So let's say, for example, a student comes to me and says, you know, I'm really struggling with my gender identity. I'm a male, but I really identify as a female. And I say to the child, well, have you had this conversation with your parent yet? And the child says, no, I haven't, because if I do, I'm afraid they're going to kick me out of the house. Then I think it requires that staff member who will then, in our case, refer that child to the counselor, for the counselor to talk to that child to say, tell me more. Is there any evidence to what you're saying in terms of, well, I think my parents are going to kick me out of the house? If we find that there's other evidence that supports that claim, then we can involve staff, senior at the central office level, to include our attorney if we need to determine whether or not we could be potentially putting a child in jeopardy. If there's evidence that the parent and this child have had poor relationships in the past, and maybe there were some injuries, then we can also notify Child Protective Services. So we're not knowingly going to put a child into a terrible situation without doing our due diligence to determine if the child is making a claim that has any merit to it.
Thanks for the call, Wesley. We don't have much time left, but I've watched the last couple of school board meetings that go until past midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. And I guess there's a closed meeting sometimes even after the public meeting. So we're talking 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Do the best decisions get made in those circumstances in meetings that actually begin around 4:30, 5 o'clock?
Well, I think it's not for me to say. I would say that there's an acknowledgement among the board members that after midnight and an 8-hour meeting, you're tired, you're fatigued, just like anybody else would be. And is that the best time to be making really important decisions? But if the business of the board requires that meeting to go until 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, which it has, then we owe it to the division, we owe it to the community to make the very best decision we can, regardless of the time.
Switching topics again, to talk about vocational education as opposed to putting everybody on a college track and the average person with a bachelor's. I Googled this morning, ends up with just under $39,000 in debt for a job that may pay $51,000 to start. And it would seem to me that there are other professions that maybe don't require a college degree that pay very well.
Yeah, there are quite a few professions now. Things have shifted over the last 10 years. Vocational education 10 years ago was kind of like, no one really does that. Now, it is the big call. It is workforce development. And in Virginia Beach, we have a remarkable vocational education program. In Virginia Beach City Public Schools, we annually, our kids earn more industry certifications than any other division in the Commonwealth. And with 64,000 students and school divisions in the Commonwealth with 85,000, 92,000, 180,000, our kids earn more industry certifications because of the number of programs we have. And we're looking to expand those programs because there is a need.
When I talked to some of the Construction Trades Council, did an interview with them when the governor was kind of hot about community colleges turning out workforce people. And they said, we really don't get that many from the community college. And as far as they were concerned, the community college system maybe wasn't working the way it should. Have you done anything with TCC to work on trades?
So actually, it's a timely question. I just stood up with Delcino Miles in Virginia Beach and the Miles Agency, Virginia Beach City Public Schools Community Roundtable, and we had our first meeting the other day. And in that first meeting, we recognized there was one person missing at the table, and that was TCC. So we have workforce development, we have VB Vision, we got the Virginia Beach Minority Council, we have TCC, we've got the Chamber of Commerce, and now we're sitting at the table all together going, okay, how can we ensure that we've got a mutually beneficial partnership where the needs of the community, the business community, are being met by a captive audience of students who are looking to be able to graduate and be ready to be employed, enlisted, or enrolled in college. And if they're looking for employment, let's give them those opportunities during high school to engage in those employments through internships and apprenticeships.
My wife told me when I went through some of these topics, she said, you won't get to all of these. And she was right. Traditional grades, pass, fail, the list goes on and on and on. We would probably have to have you back.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'd love to come back.
We are coming to the end. I want to thank you for joining us in the first of a series of conversations with regional school superintendents about the state of public education today. Our guest has been the acting Virginia Beach City Public School Superintendent, Dr. Donald Robertson. Education Matters is a production of WHRO. Virginia Beach City Public Schools are stakeholders in Hereta, which holds the license for the WHRO stations. Program is produced by Dr. Barry Graham. Our audio engineer is Jordan Christie. Connor Worley took care of the phones today. The theme music is an original composition by Todd Washburn. Special thanks to Chuck Dowd, Heather Mazzoni, and Bert Schmidt. And remember, it's important to everyone in the community. Education matters.